Let's keep going, man.
Well, we're talking, roll. We're talking about preparedness and some of the things you might learn from what our fellow Texans have been going through. So one of the team members at Rosie on the House has a sister and brother-in-law that are surviving the event in and about and around Austin. Let's bring Baxter into the conversation, calling from Texas for a current update. What's the situation? Hey, Baxter, we've never met. I don't know that I've ever seen a picture of someone's master bathtub that I've never known before. But he sends a picture.
Yeah, good morning, Rosie.
He sends a picture of a bathtub to Joanna. I didn't even know they had snow shovels in Austin.
We don't. We got to improvise.
How did you load that bathtub with that much snow? And why?
That was kind of my morning routine. For about 4 hours every morning, I would go and take a 5-gallon bucket, load it up, put it in the tub, and do that for about 3 or 4 hours to get your morning workout.
Gosh. And now that is to provide melt for drinking and flushing water because the water to the community is completely turned off?
Yeah, so it was about, would have been Valentine's Day, I guess. Great way to spend Valentine's Day, Sunday afternoon. Water gets shut off, and you kind of got to go into survival mode. What can you do? Because nowhere around had any running water. So we're about right in the middle of San Antonio and Austin, and you just got to think on your feet. And the best way to do that was just take snow and melt it down and then boil it so you could have it. Simple things like flushing the toilet and trying to get a sponge bath, I guess you can say, and then try to other ways to wash dishes, et cetera. So,
now, how long have you been in Central Texas?
So we've been here about 3.5-4 years. So
grew up
in Nebraska originally. Okay. So used to the cold weather.
Yes,
but definitely not something they're accustomed to down here.
You're kind of used to that ice belt tragedy. I think the ice belt through the middle of a country is worse than the snow country up north, and definitely worse than the area below Mason-Dixon, because it's that ice that's so debilitating to utilities, traffic, transportation, everything.
Baxter, were you did you have a prep kind of a mentality before? Did you have things stocked up at all, or was this like you were totally unprepared?
Yeah, so I think overall, I mean, the average Texan, especially if you're talking Dallas, Houston, Austin, and San Antonio, did not. And we at least had food in place, so we had made sure we had at least a week of food when they told us about this. They gave us a warning probably that Thursday or Friday, so a little over a week ago. So bottled water a little bit, but nothing besides that. I mean, that's just kind of, you just take it day by day, so... could have been, I think, for the most part, we were resourceful and just making sure your water shut off, because that's a big issue you're going to see here, is that you're going to have more insurance claims than you'll ever see in the entire state. So,
wow. Well, did you?
Yeah, it's definitely. Go ahead.
Have you been to the grocery store yet? Are you able to get there?
You ought to see his videos.
Yeah, it's a mess. We did. Yeah. You pick and choose. They're open for about 5 hours each day, 12 to 5, and then you just. You maybe find one where there's a line of 200-300 people out there. Then you try to go to the next one. We actually found saving grace at the little small CVS's and Walgreens. That's where we found instead of the major grocery stores. So,
is there anything on the shelves at all?
No. That's the other thing. I mean, the supply chain is completely it's discombobulated. You have, all the meat. Just kind of going back to where just think about it. A year ago, we were in this the COVID crisis. So kind of was reminiscent of that. So it was tough to find anything.
Well, now, Baxter, as kind of a participant, I won't call you a victim, as a participant of this crisis, what should Arizona homeowners know? What are you going to do different, maybe in, about, and around your house? I know one of the things I've always felt compelled to do that. I remember I need to stock up extra supply of dog food, because you know what happens to our dogs when they go off their dog food. It's not pretty. what can you teach us? What would you do different to be ready for this next event?
Yeah, I think from just a general preparedness, it would be, I mean, like you said earlier on, just the bottled water, the food, making sure you have a week or 2 weeks enough frozen food. I mean, if you have canned foods in case the electricity goes out, But from a homeowner's perspective, I mean, just understanding how your insurance works, the claiming process and what it is, what they will cover, what they won't cover. That's the biggest issue you're going to see right now. You're going to see these claims filing in, people trying to get, I need a hotel. I need a week hotel stay or a month hotel stay. Well, that's not covered depending on where that waterline break was.
Excellent.
So understanding
advice.
That. Yeah.
Wow. Well, and you and your wife have been able to take refuge at a neighbor's house that had a backup generator, right? So y'all, at least y'all have heat and power, right?
Yeah, so you never thought you'd have to have those in Texas or Arizona, but you never know. I mean, you get a blackout, something like this, then you're prepared from that standpoint. So making sure you're having propane as well. If you have outdoor heaters, I mean, you got to be careful with that, with carbon monoxide, but just there's several levels of preparedness that you can take.
Well, Baxter, I know you must be dealing with a lot. I mean, logistically, just trying to decide which grocery store you're going to go stand in line for 5 hours with and what you're going to do for the next supply of fresh water. I can't thank you enough for taking some time out of that schedule to visit with us and help educate the Arizona homeowners how we might all be in a state of more ready preparedness for anything that may come our way. Baxter, thanks a million.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
All right.
You know,
some of his videos were unbelievable. The empty shelves and the lines outside the Piggly Wigglies.
And he mentioned the COVID thing, and we all saw that here, where you go to the grocery store, and there's no cleaning supplies, there's no paper supplies. Sometimes there's no meat. There's maybe one or two kinds of soup. I mean, you absolutely saw the chain upset. But they're talking about being without electricity as well. So our kind of solace during COVID was working at home. Well, at least we can work at home. At least we can do everything from home. You're talking about your homes torn up.
Yeah.
Not able to work at all. And I loved his point about insurance, because if you're in that extreme of a condition, you're going to need all the help you can get.
A whole new level of storm chasers moving into Texas, probably as we speak. Let's go to Mark, who's dialed the show to visit. Let's see what Mark's got on his mind this particular gorgeous Arizona Saturday morning. Okay, Mark.
Hi, guys. Thank you very much for taking my call.
What you up to, my friend?
I have two questions for you. The first one is probably more straightforward. I have a home about 15 years old, and I'm looking to make my garage less of a dumping ground and more of a workshop.
Yeah.
So the only problem is, like a lot of the homes, I only have three outlets in my entire garage. One on the ceiling for the garage door opener, one on the back wall that's up against the interior of the house, and one on a side wall that's by the where you would plug in a water softener by the water heater.
Okay.
And they're all on the same, I think they're all on the same circuit. So I have a woeful lack of power in my garage. So what would be good options for me to get more power into the garage without, I mean, I guess, because it's already, you know, the home's already there. It's instead of tearing everything apart, like,
well,
how can I do it easier?
Well, many times on the home, and depending on the floor plan, the electric panel, if you're lucky, is mounted on the outside wall of your garage. Is the electric panel...
Yes, it's literally right outside of the garage, up against one of the walls. It's the wall opposite the side of the room.
Perfect.
Where I want to have the workbench, but it is right there.
And you have a little attic?
Yes, yes. I have the empty space in the above the, yeah,
then,
absolutely.
Then all you need to do is go outside, open the door to the electric panel, and you're going to see a punch-out screen. And you just need to look at that and see, is every single one of those breaker punch-outs punched out and filled with a breaker?
No, I have tons of space.
You got tons of space. Well, then this is going to be pretty easy, probably, to add a nice 20-amp circuit to get in there for your charging stations and your power tools and whatever else you want to put in. So electrically, you'll need a permit to do it, but it's going to be an easy thing. You'll just conduit out of the top of that service section, put an elbow into the attic, go across the attic, feed it back down in the wall, plop in the receptacles you need, you'll be in great shape. So electrically, this isn't going to be a challenge at all.
Okay. All right. That's great to hear. And then as far as on the interior of the garage, would it make more sense for me to have, I guess, like conduit and boxes just mounted to the wall?
Couple options.
That kind of run across, you know, about, I don't know, as high as my workbench and just run across the length of the wall. And then I can just have a bunch of plugs or...
Yeah, you can do one of those runner troughs along, right atop the countertop height, you know, with a series of 10 or 12 or 15 110 receptacles plugged in. It's exactly what I have at one of my properties that I use as a little shop, too. But you can do all that. And then I'll tell you the one question you haven't asked, how do you finish it? I tell you what, every garage ought to have a wainscot of diamond plate steel wainscoting. And then at the point it ever needs to be cleaned out, then you just hose it out. Let that diamond plate go all the way down. It gives you a very finished NASCAR type shop look. It's crisp. It's clean. It's easy to keep clean. I'm in the process of starting that at my house right now, and I love it. It looks great. So then he had one other question about the trade career question, and I'll have to take that offline, but I don't want to lose the opportunity to repeat it because we covered it earlier. Just utility company linemen, electricians in America are going to see a shortfall of almost 500,000 individuals in this next generation. That's typical of all of the trades. So if you like working with your hands, if you like solving problems for people, if you like being a part of the solution, if you like putting your brain to work and coming up with intuitive, great creative ideas, the trades could be an excellent, excellent place for you to consider your next career. It is a great living. I've loved it. I've been very grateful for the life it's provided me.